Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. So today I'm going to talk about what everybody in the Catholic world's talking about, and that's the Pope's new motu proprio Traditionis Custodis. And before I do that, though, I just want to say that I'd like everybody to like and subscribe to this podcast, however you listen to it, watch it, or whatever the case may be. Please subscribe. We've had a lot of subscribers over the past couple months, and I really appreciate everybody who's subscribed. And I just ask people to continue to do that and encourage others to watch or listen to this podcast. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about today is what I think is the secret key for understanding the question, why? I've been asked a lot of times in the past few days, why has Pope Francis done this? Why has he issued this motu proprio that has put severe restrictions on the celebration of the traditional Latin Mass? Now, I will say that the answer is we don't really know, because we can't know exactly what's in somebody else's heart. But I think the Pope tells us essentially why he's doing this in the letter that accompanies his motu proprio. And I want to say something about this, that I think Pope Francis is right. He's right about something very important. And that is, this is all about, and here's the secret key, this is all about Vatican II. It's 100% has to do with Vatican II. And I think he's right that to be concerned that the growth of the traditional Latin Mass does definitely undercut his view of Vatican II and its place in the church today. Because we see in the motu proprio, one of the most important issues in the motu proprio itself is that bishops are supposed to ask priests to defend the validity and legitimacy of the liturgical forms dictated by Vatican Council II. Again, to defend the validity and legitimacy of the liturgical reforms dictated by Vatican Council II. So what does that mean exactly, the validity and legitimacy of the liturgical forms? Now, I know there's been talk about the fact that a lot of traditionalists will deny the validity of Vatican II, which has not been my experience. Most people I know, most Catholics I know who attend the traditional Latin Mass, who consider themselves traditional Catholics, they would consider Vatican II a valid council, meaning it was called properly by a legitimate pope and legitimate bishops were there and everything went through the proper channel. So it's a valid council. But he's saying the validity of the liturgical forms, reforms. What does that mean? That they were done properly, that we're supposed to agree with every aspect of the validity of these liturgical reforms? What exactly does that mean when we're supposed to say the validity of the liturgical reforms? So that's a problem right there. But also the legitimacy of these liturgical reforms. What does that mean? It sounds almost like a synonym for validity. But ultimately, does that mean we're saying that they're legitimate in the sense that the proper authorities promulgated them? Or does it mean we're supposed to agree with every aspect of the liturgical reforms of Vatican II? And so it's really problematic how that's supposed to be done. But what it really tells us, though, however, is the primacy of Vatican II in the eyes of Pope Francis. That's what really matters when it comes to this motu proprio. And if you read the letter that accompanies the motu proprio, you see that. In fact, Vatican Council II is mentioned, I think, 14 times, and it's not a very long letter. It's just a few pages when you print it out. And it's a constantly recurring theme, though, in what Pope Francis is saying. He's talking about the fact that Vatican II is what's most important, and he's concerned that the growth of the traditional Latin Mass, he didn't call it the growth, but we all know that's what it is, the traditional Latin Mass will somehow override Vatican II. He says at one point, "But I am nonetheless saddened that the instrumental use of the Missal of 1962 is often characterized by a rejection not only of the liturgical reform, but of Vatican Council II itself." Right there we see it's not just a liturgical reform, although that's what's mentioned in the actual motu proprio, that you have to accept the liturgical reform, it's Vatican II itself that's his concern. Pope Francis is worried that those who reject, oh, I'm sorry, those who follow the traditional Latin Mass, that they reject Vatican II itself. That's his real concern. And we see it throughout his letter. And so the question becomes, and this is a question I don't think people are asking enough, why is this so important to the Pope that we support Vatican II in the way that he thinks we should support it, which is unadulterated praise for it, canonization of it? I mean, we kind of know that the canonizations of Pope John the 23rd and Pope Paul the 6th were essentially canonizations of Vatican II. This motu proprio is another canonization, so to speak, of Vatican II, meaning Catholics are required, according to Pope Francis, to give 100% consent and support and anything you can think of towards Vatican II. But why is it? Why is that so important to Pope Francis? Because after all, it doesn't seem to be very important to him to rein in heretical priests or bishops or lay people for that matter. So Father James Martin can spout off his heretical nonsense, and not only is he not corrected, he's endorsed by the Pope. The German bishops can be leading the church in Germany to schism through their embrace of heresy, and nothing is done. That's okay. That seems to be okay. Heck, he doesn't even seem to be concerned about the idea of Catholics caring for the poor or working for pro-life things or praying the rosary or promoting the faith evangelization. All that matters is acceptance of Vatican II, complete and total acceptance of Vatican II, without any criticism whatsoever. That's what's happening here. He knows that those who attend the traditional Latin Mass are perhaps going to criticize Vatican II, and he will have no criticism whatsoever. This is honestly like the Soviet Union, how Stalin would act, that anybody who dared to reject the dear leader, anything about the communist Soviet Union, they had to be eliminated from the picture. Now, of course, Stalin used much more crazy means, much more evil means to do that. He just killed people. But essentially, the attitude behind it is very similar, that any dissent from his interpretation, the Pope's interpretation of Vatican II, which is complete and unadulterated acceptance, has to be crushed, completely. It doesn't matter if somebody is living a sacramental life, if they're praying the rosary daily, if they're giving to the poor, if they're doing all the things that makes one holy. None of that matters if they don't give complete acceptance of Vatican II. And that just boggles the mind if you think about Vatican II in the context of Catholic history, of church history, of our tradition. We have a 2,000-year tradition, and yet what we're being asked to accept is every jot and tittle of a 3-year council from 60 years ago. And if you don't accept every jot and tittle of that, it doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't matter if you pray the rosary. It doesn't matter how holy you might be. None of that matters. All that matters is an acceptance of Vatican II. And it just doesn't make sense in light of tradition. But it does make sense if you view the church in the way that this current pontiff views it. Now, here's the key point here. Pope Francis is correct. He is right to be worried that those who attend the traditional Latin Mass are likely to be more critical of Vatican II. The fact is that the more you attend the traditional Latin Mass and just be involved with different traditional acts of piety, the more likely you're going to see Vatican II, as I said, in light of the 2,000-year tradition. A true hermeneutic continuity, as Pope Benedict talked about, although I don't think his idea of hermeneutic continuity is the correct one, but the point being that a true hermeneutic continuity, in the sense that you look at 2,000 years of tradition and you place Vatican II as one part of that, one piece of that larger puzzle. When you do that, you do start to see some problematic elements. Now, again, it's not saying Vatican II is invalid. It's not even saying it's heretical. However, what it's saying is the language used at Vatican II often led people to diverge from tradition, to go away from tradition, to reject tradition. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter of what happened after Vatican II. You can't deny it. And so when you start to go to traditional Latin Mass and you embrace tradition more, you start to see that more clearly that, okay, things have come at the church after Vatican II, how it's actually practiced the faith is fundamentally different than how it was practiced before Vatican II. Now, I got in a lot of trouble on Twitter because I said something to that effect. And I want to be clear about what I mean by that. I don't mean they're different religions actually fundamentally in the sense that it's two different religions like Islam or Catholicism are different religions. It is the same religion in the sense that it's the continuation of the Catholic faith today. However, in practice, it is practiced as a different religion by many people. And we see that in the fact that over 90% of Catholic women use, this is American statistics, have used artificial contraception. 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence. Less than 30% of Catholics actually attend Mass each week. Even less than that attend confession on a regular basis. That is fundamentally different than how the faith was practiced before Vatican II. Now, we can get into a long discussion of what caused that. Was it Vatican II? Was it other factors? Was it a lot of factors? And I think it is a complex issue here. It's not just Vatican II. But the fact remains that it is practiced differently. Catholicism is practiced differently before Vatican II as it is practiced after Vatican II. That is an undeniable fact. Pope Francis knows this. He understands this as well. And he embraces how it's been practiced post-Vatican II. And he thinks that's the way of the future. That's the way of the church with 90% plus practicing contraception, with 70% not believing the real presence, with homosexuality basically implicitly endorsed by Father James Martin and others. All the and pro-abortion Catholic politicians receiving Holy Communion. All these things that are part and parcel of our modern Catholic Church. These are things Pope Francis doesn't seem to have a problem with. At least by his actions, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. And by his words, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. What he really has a problem with is those who have an affinity for the way the faith was practiced before Vatican II, in which people did believe in the world presence. People didn't artificially contracept, although it wasn't as available back then, admittedly. People were against homosexuality, knew it was a sin. They were very pro-life, all those different things. They went to confession regularly. They understood what mortal sin was. They understood what hell was. They understood they could go to hell if they didn't live as a Catholic. All these things that were practiced by Catholics before Vatican II. It's not to say before Vatican II was some utopia. No, there's lots of sin in the church. But fundamentally, people knew what it meant to be Catholic. They might not have always lived like they should have, but they knew what it meant to be Catholic. And so that's what's not happening today. People don't even know what it means to be Catholic. They think they can reject the real presence. They think they can contracept and still be a good, faithful Catholic. And Pope Francis is indicating that that is the case. And so when you start going to Latin Mass, though, oftentimes you start to see things a little bit more clearly like this. And Pope Francis sees it clearly, and he wants to crush it. He wants to stop it. And so it does really make you ask the question, what is Pope Francis trying to do here? I think ultimately he thinks the modern Catholic Church, the mess it is, as he in the quote he would say, the mess it is, that's the way he wants the Catholic Church to be. So when we talk about the growth of the Latin Mass and the fact that so many Catholics are not attending Mass anymore, leaving the church, but a lot of Catholics, especially young Catholics, are attending the traditional Latin Mass, that's seen as a bad thing by Pope Francis. That's not seen as a good thing. I've even used the analogy, if a CEO has 10 divisions, one of them is growing rapidly and the other nine are failing, a good CEO would look to the one and say, hey, what are you doing right? Let's do it in the other nine. But for Pope Francis, he doesn't want to sell the product that division is selling, that's doing so well. He wants to get out of that business. He wants to just go ahead and double down on the nine divisions that are failing and hope that if he just keeps on doubling down, eventually they're going to start selling, even though it's clear they're not going to. And so we have to recognize this and just accept that this is the reality that we're living in right now. That the reality we're living in is that the Pope of Rome, he embraces this Pope, this post-Vatican II church that has failed on so many levels. And again, I'm not even trying to say it's all Vatican II's fault. I'm simply saying that's the reality of what's happened since Vatican II. And those of us who lament this, and this is traditional Catholics and conservative Catholics, any Orthodox Catholic laments the state of the church today. You have to. If you don't, you're not. I really question if you're really Catholic. You have to understand that the church is in dire straits and we need to make changes, including being open to criticizing Vatican II and the reforms that came out of it. I wrote an article a few years ago for Crisis Magazine. This is before I was the editor of Crisis. I wrote an article that talked about the censorship that surrounds Vatican II and the church. I remember working for a diocese for 5 years, director of evangelization, and before that working at parish level. And the one thing you never could do, you never could say, you could never criticize Vatican II. It was just impossible. You couldn't say, well, I think the way this word, it wasn't the best way of wording. It's been used, it's been abused by a lot of people. Even that was forbidden speech at a diocese. And everybody who's watching this or listening to this and works at a diocese knows that that's true. It is forbidden to ever say anything that might even suggest that Vatican II isn't the super council that directs all things Catholic and isn't perfect and given to us on high, like the Book of Mormon was on the golden tablets, was given to Joseph Smith. So if you even question that, then you're basically outside the church, as Pope Francis and many in church leadership today think. And so what does this mean then going forward? What does this mean for the future? So if Vatican II is the council that must not be named, at least in a critical fashion, what are we supposed to do? I think I've seen a lot of Catholics who either are traditional Catholics or are opposed to this motu proprio. They want to have an attitude of basically accepting the premise that Pope Francis is giving. And that is that we're trying to set up a parallel church. We're trying to set up what we call the true church. And I think I reject that premise. What we're trying to do is we're trying to reform our church. We're trying to reform the Catholic Church as we've been given to it by our forefathers in the faith. We've been given this great treasure that has been handed on from generation to generation for 2,000 years. We're trying desperately to hand it on to the next generation. But we know that so much of what's going on in the church today, that a lot of it, frankly, is a result of the reforms of Vatican that came out of Vatican II, including the liturgical reforms. They've done so much to harm our beloved mother, the church, and we want to reform the church. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to set up a parallel church. We're trying to reform our church. And if you don't think the church is in need of reform, pay attention, look around. People are leaving in droves. Catholics that are staying don't believe what the church teaches. And so we need this desperate reform of the church. And that includes being self-critical. A healthy organization is self-critical. If you're not self-critical, then you just end up being a cult. You just end up going down paths that lead to destruction, and nobody's willing to say, okay, we need to change this. We need to be self-critical. And part of that means being critical of everything that's happened since Vatican II and being willing to criticize it. But the Pope is clearly saying, no, we cannot be critical. We have to accept wholesale and without criticism every single thing about Vatican II and that's come out of Vatican II. And I simply say, that's not living in reality. And so if that means I'm one of the people that Pope Francis is thinking of, I'm not that he knows who I am personally, but somebody like me, when he writes this motu proprio and he issues it, well, so be it. I can't change the fact that I do believe that there's room for criticism of what's happened since Vatican II and Vatican II itself. It's not a rejection of the validity of Vatican II. It's not a rejection of the validity of the Novus Ordo. And by the way, just an aside real quick, I guess we can drop the whole extraordinary ordinary form stuff now, because I mean, that seems to be what the Pope is doing since he rescinded Summorum Pontificum. We don't have to worry about that language anymore. So I think I'm just going to call it Novus Ordo and the traditional Latin mass. And if people don't like it, I can't do anything about it. Pope Francis is the one who got rid of the ordinary form, extraordinary form language. So if we're not, so if I'm one of those people that Pope Francis is thinking of that is a critic of the post-Vatican II church, so be it. I can't change that, because I do think that's the path forward to reform, is looking back at how we did things before Vatican II and taking what's good from it and really embracing it today. And I would argue that traditional Latin Mass is one of those things, but other aspects of the church, you know, my book, Deadly Indifference, I talk about the need for a real missionary zeal. And that means really dropping a lot of the ecumenical and irreligious dialogue work that the church is doing. I just don't think it helps reform the church. It doesn't help grow the church and bring people to Jesus Christ. And so, okay, so be it. I'll just be the one to say it then, that I may be one of those type of people that Pope Francis think of when he wrote this. But you don't blame the person who is noting a problem in the family. You don't try to crush the son who says, "Dad, I think the way things are being run in the family needs some help." You don't crush that person and say, "Shut up, son. I don't want to hear a word from you." You say, "Okay, son, let's hear what you have to say." Because, like, for example, when he says in the motu proprio, or maybe it was in the letter, that they pulled all the bishops of the, he pulled all the bishops of the world and asked them, "Okay, what do you think about the Summorum Pontificum? How is it being lived out? What's the traditional Latin Mass community like in your area?" And supposedly they're the reason, their answers are the reason why this motu proprio was issued. I don't really necessarily buy that. But more importantly, notice who he didn't ask. He didn't ask priests who celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. He didn't ask the FSSP. He didn't ask the Institute of Christ the King. He didn't ask the lay faithful who attend the traditional Latin Mass. I wasn't asked. Were you? There's no survey given us. So if the shepherds are supposed to smell like the sheep, why wasn't the chief shepherd willing to get down with those sheep who are celebrating, who are participating in the Latin Mass, and ask them, "Why do you go here? What are your thoughts about Vatican II? Why are you critical of Vatican II?" None of that happened. There was no questions asked. And so we were just simply ignored. And that's not really a shepherd smelling like a sheep, it seems to me. Now, what does the future hold for the traditional Latin Mass based upon this motu proprio? Well, I think it's obvious. And I'm going to say something. I haven't heard a lot of people say this. And it might sound sensationalistic, might sound crazy, but I think the Pope wants to abolish 100% completely the traditional Latin Mass. He wants to destroy it. He wants to crush it. And it's not my words. That's what he says in the letter that accompanied the motu proprio. He talks about, he says, this unity, and what he means is the unity, the liturgical unity of one unique rite, I intend to reestablish through the Church of the Roman Rite. And what he's saying there is, now, let me read the greater context. He's saying, Paul VI, recalling that the work of the adaptation of Roman Missal had already been initiated by Pius XII, declared that the revision of the Roman Missal, meaning the Pope, the Mass of Pope Paul VI in 1970, carried out in the light of the ancient liturgical resources, okay, I'm not going to go there, had the goal of permitting the Church to raise up in the variety of languages a single and identical prayer that expressed her unity. And then he says, this unity I intend to reestablish through the Church of the Roman Rite, meaning my intention is that there will be only one form of the Roman Rite and there will be no other allowed. He's saying that very clearly. And also, he says later in his letter, he talks about indications about how to proceed in your diocese are chiefly dictated by two principles. On the one hand, to provide for the good of those who are rooted in the previous form of celebration and need to return in due time to the Roman Rite promulgated by St. Paul VI. Saints Paul VI and St. John Paul II is actually the full quote. And on the other hand, to discontinue the erection of new personal parishes tied more to the desire and wishes of individual priests than to the real need of the holy people of God. That line killed me. The idea that new personal parishes that celebrate the traditional Roman Rite are somehow only due to individual priests. That's, I mean, it's just not true. We know it's not true. He knows it's not true. It's the people who want the traditional Latin Mass. That's why there's such a growth for it. That's why there's such a demand for it. It's not just some like eccentric priest decided, okay, I think I'm going to celebrate the old Latin Mass now. No, it's the people who are asking for it. That's what's happening. But more to the point, Pope Francis is saying very clearly he wants one Roman rite, one form of it celebrated, and no other. And this is just simply step one. It's actually a couple steps into it, but this is a major step in that. And that's not me being sensationalistic or trying to read into what he's saying. It's what he's explicitly saying. And so we have to realize that this is one step in that path to crushing the traditional Latin Mass. And so I think, and this is now I'm going into speculation. Before I was just simply saying what Pope Francis is saying. Now I'm saying that this is my speculation. I think the idea is to corral all the traditional Latin Mass people into these communities like the Fraternity of St. Peter or the Institute of Christ the King, corral them into these groups, and then destroy those groups and take down those groups. And I don't even like talking like this. I don't like talking about speculation about the future, but the Pope has said these things. I mean, he said that he wants to end the traditional Latin Mass. And so the fact that he's trying to restrict it essentially just to existing communities and not allowing new personal parishes to be established, meaning the FSSP, if let's say there's a bishop who wants the FSSP in his parish, according to the Pope, he should not establish a new parish for them. That basically the existing ones are okay, but let them die out. Let them disappear. And so this is a corralling strategy in my mind to put them all into these individual groups and then find reasons to shut down those groups. Because obviously there's going to be reasons. I mean, they can make up reasons because we see where it talks about denying the legitimacy and validity of the liturgical reforms or Vatican II. I mean, that's such broad language. You could say that. I mean, obviously they would say that about me probably when it's not even true. They could easily say it about an FSSP priest or apostolate and just say, okay, you're done. Now, the good news is, I mean, I know a lot of this has all been mostly bad news in this podcast, but I would say the good news in this is that there is a true demand from the lay people for this Mass and for just simply the piety and the spirituality of the pre-Vatican II era. And there is an acknowledgement that the Vatican II experiment failed. Now, whether or not it can be rebooted somehow in Vatican II, that's another debate for another time. But simply put, it's failed. The Pope knows it. We know it. The Pope's solution is to simply try to keep going with what we're doing, and eventually it'll stick. We know that's simply not going to work. And so with this demand, bishops are going to understand that. I mean, one of the things I've been heartened by is the fact that a number of bishops have already kind of said, we're not going to do this. Bishop Papraki in Illinois particularly, and I think Bishop Corleone in San Francisco, some other bishops as well, basically said, we're not going to do this, at least temporarily. I think that's very heartening. You know why? A bishop's life is full of headaches, bureaucratic headaches, administrative headaches, all types of headaches. He gets complaints all day, every day. In most cases, these bishops have no problem with their traditional Latin Mass communities in their diocese. And all the Pope did was he just handed him problems by this motu proprio. And these bishops are like, I got enough problems on my hand. The last thing I want to do is add to it by trying to crush these people that frankly have kept to themselves, have been fine. I haven't had any problems with. I'm just going to let them keep on going with what they're doing. I think that's essentially what a lot of these bishops are saying. It's not worth the head, even if they're not fans of traditional Latin Mass. And I think some of them are, like in the sense that they appreciate it. They might not celebrate, but they appreciate it. And they know the people who go to the traditional Latin Mass are faithful Catholics. In other words, maybe they don't accept every jot and tittle of Vatican II, but they pray their rosary. They all pray for the bishops. That's the one thing they know they do. They attend Mass. They don't celebrate the sacraments. They know this is the case. So why cause problems by trying to restrict them? So I think a lot of these bishops do see that. And so I'm hoping there's enough of a pushback that Pope Francis can't go to step two, which, you know, obviously he could try. But if there's enough pushback, if there's enough ignoring of this motu proprio by the bishops, or essentially ignoring it in practice, then hopefully then there will be his full plan to completely destroy the Latin Mass won't happen. Okay, I think I'm going to cut it off there. We're about, 30 minutes, which I think is a good time. So obviously just some takeaways from this. It's all about Vatican II. It's all about not just Vatican II, but an acceptance of all the reforms that came out of Vatican II. Not just the liturgical, but every aspect of Vatican II. Ecumenism and interreligious dialogue, religious freedom, the liturgy, obviously, a different attitude towards moral sins, all that whole experiment, the whole project of Vatican II, the Pope is saying you have to 100% support. You cannot criticize it for any reason. And he knows people at traditional Latin Mass are doing that. And so he wants to push them out of church, frankly, or get them to come on board with the Vatican II project. And so what we have to do then is just continue to pray, continue to fast, continue to attend the traditional Latin Mass. If you don't currently attend the traditional Latin Mass, I really encourage you to check it out. Go find it. I mean, I've made videos on it, how to attend and all that about that. I encourage you. You can look on YouTube for Latin Mass, Eric Sammons. You'll find stuff about it. And I really encourage you. There's a new documentary coming out soon, Mass of the Ages, that was honored to be a part of, that's going to really present the Latin Mass in a way that you may have never seen before. I think that'll also grow interest in the Latin Mass. And I think what will happen is it will force priests, it will force bishops to really simply say, we're not going to crush this. We're not going to, this is one of the few bright spots in our diocese. We're not going to do anything to crush it. And they're simply going to ignore the Pope, which I think would be in this situation, a very good thing. Okay. Well, that's it for now. Until next time, God love you, and keep praying, keep working for the kingdom and the reform of the church.